Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology speaking with you on Blog Talk Radio. And my name is Mark Waltz. I'm in New York City, and I'm joined by my colleague, Ann Ortley.
Hi, I'm Ann Ortley. I'm here on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. Woohoo!
That's two of us in New York, and
yep.
Hopefully we'll be joined by our colleague from the Twin Cities. But
Miss
she's
Heather
not on
Roan
yet.
Robin. She's not on yet, yeah. And there's
okay.
A time zone change, and there's an out-of-bounds... an out-of-bounds Mercury, so we'll see what happens. It's definitely that kind of night. So
yeah.
So what's going on in your part of the world, Mark? What did you note of record
yeah, well,
of this?
Out-of-bounds Mercury, I guess that's always acting up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be out-of-bounds till you mentioned Christmas Day, right?
Yes, Christmas Day, yes. And it's out-of-bounds in Capricorn, which is the sign of words. Well, Capricorn is rocks. Rocks, you know, when you do rock, scissors, paper, the rocks win, you know.
Right.
So Capricorn's in the sign of rocks. And somebody mailed me a picture of goats climbing up a mountain. Capricorn's the sign of the goats. And
right.
It also was, somebody else mailed me a picture of the cats inside of nativity sets.
No.
Because it looks like a cozy little house and they're going to crawl in it.
So...
Capricorn is a lot about what we build and what's important to us and why. And so with Mercury and Capricorn out of bounds till Christmas, we can expect out of bounds things. So Mark and I were just talking about one of our favorite students, Annabelle, who recently started writing for a blog column for them every week, and somebody plagiarized her stuff. And she caught them and publicized it. And we were both chuckling about how great Annabelle was and that our little baby's all grown up, you know, because we were both her teachers. I mean, she's had other teachers, too, but yeah. So when your stuff's good enough that somebody steals it, that's a compliment of sorts, even if it pisses you off. So go rye, Annabelle. And of course, Mercury's out of bounds. So, you know, she was pretty... She's pretty mad. She's an Aries. You know, you don't piss an Aries off for no reason. So, but it's good.
Yeah.
And, of course, the weather's calming down a little, which is nice. And we're having Mercury out of bounds things. The L.A. got a note that they were going to bomb them, and New York got a note that they were going to bomb us. And L.A. closed the schools, and 600,000 kids didn't go to school. And New York said, not a credible threat. Go to school, kids. Go get blown up, you know. So that's Mercury out of bounds, right? Two versions of how it works. So kind of fun.
Yeah, and we have,
so anything else you've noticed?
The sun is going to go into Capricorn soon. So.
Yes, it is. What's going to happen when that happens?
Wow. It sets up a good 3 months ahead of us because it's a cardinal sign. All of the cardinal signs are startups. And they are the lead energy for the season. So we're coming into the lead energy for the winter season. And that's, of course, the shortest day, the longest night. And that comes up on the 21st.
Yeah. And that's next Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when all of these solstice celebrations take place. And we all look for the return of the light because we've been watching the days get shorter and the nights get longer. And all of a sudden that's going to stand still. And we're going to start seeing little by little. It doesn't appear at first. It takes a little while. But we notice that the days begin to get longer again. So we welcome the sun back to growing into a longer day.
Yeah, and it's really kind of cool when it does do that shift, because we really have a whole new energy and a whole new year. And some people mark that as the actual new year, because the solstice, the sun appears to stop for 3 days too, and
right.
And a lot of mythologies include descending into the underworld for 3 days, including the Christian story of Christ's resurrection. But we do find that they tend to be that the energy of the rebirth is really part of what we're working with this energy. So it is, you know, technically a New Year energy, even though New Year doesn't happen for a few more days. From the chart's point of view, or from the sky's point of view, the New Year is on the 21st because it marks the beginning of the solstice, and it says, let's go. And the Capricorn ingress this year, if you get up nice and early, because it is nice and early, up nice and late, it takes place at 11:49 p.m., right before midnight, and on the East Coast, just for your time zone. And it's a lot about, you know, what our belief systems are, what we want. And the rising sign and the midheaven, at least in New York's chart, are Virgo. I should look and see what it is in D.C. But that also gets us really aware of, you know, what is it we're trying to create? What's our New Year's resolution? So I would actually encourage you to do your New Year's resolution on the solstice, because it's an excellent time for initiating and starting stuff. And the Washington one is 26 degrees of Virgo, so it's tight, you know, tight energy. And the moon is Taurus on the Capricorn ingress. Taurus moons are always kind of delicious and luscious and full of good things. So,
yeah, and this one's the moon is in a grand trine with Jupiter and Mercury, Pluto. They're in Earth signs. So it gives some kind of stability to the overall energy.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Mercury, Pluto, and Venus.
Mercury, Pluto.
Pallas.
Yeah.
I said Venus, but I meant Pallas. Yeah. Venus is in Scorpio. Yeah. And, of course, Mercury's out of bounds because it's part of his story, as is Ceres. Ceres is out of bounds in Aquarius, but that grand trine in Earth is a lot about wanting to make manifest or create something. And then Venus is technically in her fall in Scorpio, or her detriment, rather, and Mars is in his detriment in Libra. But they both are in what we call mutual reception, so they can either be really, really bad, or you can consciously apply them and swap them, and then they can be really, really good, and they create things, and they help shift stuff. So it's always a good time to think about what it is you're trying to accomplish and what that dream looks like, and then give it some time, give it some play, spending some time thinking about, well, what is it I'm really trying to grow here, or build, or create. So it's kind of cool. It's a good one.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I have I always like doing something, and I'm in a bit of a night owl, so I'll be up Monday night. At that hour.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll be in Florida, actually. I'll be down there. My dad's house.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, it's good times. Yeah. What are you doing for the holidays?
It will be, we're going up to the Berkshire Mountain area up in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little
peace and quiet. I forgot to ask, are we doing the radio show next week, Wednesday?
Yeah, as long as... as long as the phone works.
Okay.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, cool.
It probably
that sounds
will
like
work.
A...
Probably will.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Yeah. Not Halloween. Christmas isn't until Friday.
Right.
That's good.
And
our moons this week are busy, you know, very productive. They get things done and accomplished, which is always helpful. And then we have in the ingress where we begin a new season. And in the old days, they used to potty. Now, this week, because Mercury is out of bounds and the moon is in Aries this weekend, Mercury is going to join with Pluto and the moon is going to join with Uranus. And so that T-square is stimulated over the weekend, which is Saturday and Sunday. So that's going to be kind of the tense days.
Yeah, and that's a heavy T-square because it's Pluto, Uranus, and Mars. So it's unpredictable and sudden. And it wants some kind of action, you know. So you want to be a little careful not to throw yourself into action without a little bit of reflection first. Mm-hmm. The tendency will be to act first, ask questions later. Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you have to do it that way.
Right. And remember, Mars is in his detriment in Libra, so he's not necessarily going to be behaving well. No. He's in the mood to kill somebody. So, answering to Venus and Scorpio. And it is, you know, there's some, you know, and lately, though, I have to say, it just feels like everything's negative. And I hate negative astrology, but I also am like, you know, these planets are in really crabby signs. And when they're that crabby, they just kind of do crabby things. So, and, you know, on the Capricorn Ingress, Neptune's opposite the part of fatality. So it's kind of like, all right, you know, what are we doing here? And just kind of what's our vision of what we want to create, you know. And on the bigger scale, you know, we're not always able to affect. But if we're all living our own lives the best we can, and we're kind of consciously working on creating a higher vibration in our world, it helps the rest of the world. So. But sometimes, you know, it's just a little hard. So, I don't know. What do you do when the aspects are really hard for a long time, Mark? We've not had this many hard ones in a really long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's best just to focus on what you can do, what you can wrap your arms around, and that's usually things that are close. And there's probably not much you can do about things that are far away and out of your direct control anyway. So, you know, pick up something that you can do and do it. And that energy will travel beyond simply what you're doing, what's right in your hands. But it becomes part of a larger pattern because we're all weaving this tapestry of life that we're in. And our little couple of strands, each of us, seem like nothing. But when you look at the overall tapestry, we're all contributing to it. And so if I have my little project and I'm working with a positive way of doing it, then I'm helping the whole tapestry to be positive. If I weave a negative little thing, well, that's contributing to the negative part. So, you know, even though what I'm doing is small, let it at least contribute to something larger that's positive. That's what I do.
Okay. I like that. I think that's a good way to handle it. Because it gets you kind of more focusing on what you're actually able to do rather than, you know, oh my, I can't do things. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really paralyzing when you look at huge, big things happening, you know, beyond where you can reach. All you can do is sort of collapse into despair, right?
Mm-hmm.
you can't get near it. But,
right.
You know, if you allow yourself a moment of that, okay, and then say, get over it, what can I do? Then just pick up those couple of strands. You know, you may not have but a couple of even broken strands, but do what you can with it. You know, help somebody near you, and you'll be helping someone far away as well. You just don't see it.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I don't know if you got the email. I got an email listener. You did? Okay.
Yeah.
She won't. Hello, all. This is from Divya. Like Divya? D? I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Today is my birthday, and I hope you'll answer my question. So first, we're going to wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And she gave us her birth information of December 16th, 1980, at 6:30 in the morning in Mumbai, Mumbai, India. And she wrote, since 2012, my life has transformed in many ways. Divorce, new job, betrayal by my soulmate last week. As I start the 35th year of my life, I am broken and hopeless. Please tell me there's hope for me yet. That I'm worthy of finding love that won't betray me, but exalt me instead. Thank you in advance for taking my question. So, first of all, happy birthday.
Right.
And if you left last week, that's right before you start your new birthday, you know, your new year. So we kind of go, I have a really good friend named Lorraine, and what she does is right before her birthday, she goes, I'm not carrying this into my next year. So she actually was, she said that to somebody last year. I'm not taking you into my new year, 2 years ago. And
okay.
I was like, really? You said that to him? She's like, yeah. I just was like, I'm not taking you in because you make me crazy and I'm going to hate you and want to kill you. And I'm not going to bring you. I just don't want the aggravation. And they were kind of shocked too. And, I mean, she didn't, you know. She just said, I'm just not taking you forward. It's kind of done. And it was kind of, everybody was a little surprised, but she was clear. So my feeling is, this is good that they left right before your birthday because you cleared them out before the new year. That said, it was a betrayal. So that part's hard. But I always think of Lorraine's advice, like, well, get rid of them before the new year starts. Your new birthday year starts because then you're free of them. Now, you did not tell us where you live now. So I don't know if you live in Mumbai or if you live somewhere else for us to do a solar return for you. So I think what we probably should do is just talk to her about her chart. So what did you
yeah.
pull the chart up, Mark?
I did. The thing that I noticed right away is that she has issues with trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what she's going through now is a big test of how can you trust. And the sense of betrayal is, of course, because someone that she did trust didn't come through. So
Right. That,
you know, that's accurate, you know. But then you have to sort out, you know, for yourself going forward with whoever else you're going to be with, you need to sort out how do I develop trust and live with trust and trust myself to trust someone. So, and really that is where the trust begins, is trusting yourself to trust someone. Because especially now, when you got burned, it's going to be a little hard to recover. So we have to look, and if you want hope for going forward, that's where it'll be, the hope that you can develop that trust. And the answer is you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a test. In your chart, we see indications that you're meant to sort of test the whole question of trust. And you've gone through that, and now, you know, you're going to come out the other side of it. And once you decide that, yes, I can develop trust again, and it's going to be on a new level, and I'm smarter now, and I've also had my heart broken, but I see that it can mend, and it takes a little while. You may not be at that stage yet, but once you are, once you feel, oh, I can, this can be mended, then you're ready for the next go at trusting, and trusting yourself to be with someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And for the listeners who are going, where does he see that she doesn't trust? What are you looking at in the chart that says she doesn't trust?
Well, there are a lot of little things that get pointed to, but there's a Pluto-Mars square,
yep.
And that is often, there's a sense of trust and there's a kind of playing with trust that goes on there. And anything with Pluto can lead to betrayal. But at the same time, that Pluto can operate very strongly otherwise. It doesn't have to get caught in like a repeat pattern. But there's also there's a conjunction of Neptune, Mercury, and the Sun. And it leads to being sort of deceived or self-deceiving. And this is also where the issue of having to test whether you can trust yourself, a Neptune Sun thing, and then having Mercury thrown in there with it, really leads us to have to struggle with the question of knowing exactly who I am and what I know, what's for sure. And when you are trying to share with someone else, it's easy to feel that you've been deceived, and you may well be deceived. But then, you know, that's where the betrayal is. But it's actually an issue of trusting yourself as much as trusting the other person.
Mm-hmm. Right. And because Mercury rules the seventh house cusp, which is the house of partner, it's going to come over to join Neptune in the Sun, which says sometimes it's a little hard for you to really see partner. And mm-hmm. because Mercury rules your midheaven, Virgo, it says you have a little trouble sometimes just with trust in general. Neptune, Sun, and Mercury combined gives a little bit of a blindfold. So
yeah.
The person has to really look for how they see it. You know, what actually do they see? The other
piece
is because...
when you throw in the Uranus conjunct Venus,
yes.
that's a person who actually enjoys being with people who are unusual and a little unpredictable. So you got someone who likes to, in a sense, play with trust and sort of tease with it. But it's not always easy to win at that game.
Right. And Uranus rules the south node, and Venus and Uranus is in the 12th. So a lot of times the people you're going to pull in, you're going to have what I call that giant sucking sound, because they're coming in into your blind spot. The 12th house is the blind spot, and you're going to be really attracted to them, and you're going to really like them, and then you're going to get them, and you're going to go, but can I trust you, right? Or you're not even going to look to see if you can trust them. You're just going to jump on them. And then the other piece is that Mercury trines Eris, the goddess of discord, down in the fourth house. So there's a little part of you that even when you see them with the square to Mercury, the square to Mars, you talk yourself out of what you see. So
yeah.
I think you probably see them, but you don't really want to believe what you see. So you kind of go, I don't really see that. Because Pallas Athena is out of bounds. You got a good seer, but you ignore it. So, yes, the answer is you can trust again and you can find somebody, but it also is about what is it you're actually looking for, right? What does the dream look like? Yeah.
And there's a little clue in how to develop that in the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in Libra, mm-hmm. because that operates by being really kind of logical in approaching things and doing things step by step. So mm-hmm. when you're ready to take another try at trusting someone, do it in steps. And don't be afraid to test someone. It's mm-hmm. it's totally okay as you develop a relationship to test a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just by observing them, really. So you're not setting up traps. That's probably not a smart idea because you...
Well, she can set up the traps with Mars,
smart,
Earth, Pluto, but not a good idea.
No,
right? Yeah.
Not a good idea with Mars, square, Pluto. And also, you often end up outsmarting yourself if you're trying to trap someone. But so it's not a matter of trapping, but it's a matter of observing. So
right.
you observe how someone is, and especially observe how are they with other people. So I know how they are with me, but... let me observe them with another situation and see, because I'm going to see another side to their character. And if I take good notes, I'll learn what I need to learn. And again, it's observing. It's not trapping. But the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Libra would really help to do that. So that would be a good approach to getting back into testing relationships.
Mm. I like that idea, yeah. And also the Jupiter, you know, your conjunctions are very tight. So the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is separated by 46 minutes, and your Venus-Uranus one is separated by 20 minutes. So what that happens is Venus is love, and Jupiter and Saturn is the partnerships that I commit to, but also Saturn is the limitation on partnership, and Uranus is the freedom from Venus. So the chart's going to not realize that these energies are actually separate. It's going to think they because they fire together. They kind of trigger off, and they go boom, boom, and you go, wow, wow, you know, that just kind of happened. I didn't see that coming. And because it really does, you really don't, because there's very little space between them. But if you're paying attention to the details, that moon in Aries is very fast. It's going to spot stuff early on. You just have to tell Pallas she has to believe it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Pallas has to be paying attention. Mm-hmm.
Another good thing for a relationship and having hope is the conjunction of Juno with Pluto.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an ability to really be empowered through relationship and mm-hmm. to find your circle of power within relationship. And that's a long-term committed relationship. That's what Juno is mm-hmm. about. So
right.
you'll find it. It's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And having gone through a breakup through betrayal, it will make you stronger to really commit when you have a relationship that you can trust.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then last but not least, Diadem, which is the crown of the bride or the crown of heaven. Your Jupiter and your Saturn are on it. So to the question of will I ever find, the answer is yes. This chart is to be betrothed. And you get Gemini on the 7th, so usually that's a couple of marriages. So you got rid of one, so that's good.
Yeah,
we're ready for the next.
You're moving along.
You're moving along. And the next one actually is the Sun marriage. The first one is you're marrying Gemini, the Mercury. You're marrying the trickster in his lower form, because the seventh house is ruled by Mercury, and it answers to Mercury and Sag. So it's lower form, and I apologize to the Mercury and Sag people who get real insulted when I say Mercury and Sag is lower form Mercury. But Mercury and Sag doesn't always tell the truth. The next one is answering to the Sun in Leo. Second marriage will be in the ninth house, answering to the Sun. And that's a Sun-Neptune person. So what we want to watch is that their Neptune practice is good. No drugs, no alcohol, no lower form Neptune. But if they're doing their spiritual path or they're doing their higher path or they have a dream that they're following, then that's a good mate. And that would be the next marriage, and that would be nice. And so I think you would definitely have a nice new relationship. And with Gemini on the 7th, you have to go through the bad one to get to the good one. Or you have to go through part one, part two. You have to do it twice. So, you know, think of all the Geminis will totally testify. You go out to a restaurant, you order something, and they don't bring the salad dressing. You have to go, can I have the salad? I watched it the other day. We were out for dinner, and this woman asked three times for the sour cream. And finally it came, and she was very polite about it. She said, can you please bring me sour cream? Yes. And then she said, you didn't bring me sour cream. Can you please? And she was very polite, but, you know, it was a Gemini. You knew that she'd... that she asked many times for people to bring her things that they forgot. So, and the British lady said 90 seconds. So we wish you all a lovely winter solstice. And Mark and I and
That's
Heather
right.
are teaching in March 7th and 8th, unwrapping the natal chart. So what we'll be doing is a two-day workshop, and we'll be working with various predictive techniques and your own charts or the chart of people that you want to bring, and delving in depth in how you unwrap the chart and you look at all the components of it. So we hope you'll join us. That's available on my website. It's available on accessastrology.eventzilla.net. You can book it that way, or you can find it on my website. So,
good.
And I don't know, do you have it on yours, Mark, too?
I'm kind of reconstructing my site at the moment.
Okay.
So
it's not on his yet, but accessastrology.eventzilla.net. You can book it there. So that's about it. So we wish you all a good week.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Mark Wald signing off from New York.
and Ann Ortley signing off from New York. And if you come to Access Astrology on Tuesday, remember next week on the 22nd we're off, and we're back on the 29th at the Open Center in the Church of the Transfiguration in the back. $5, best astrology resource in town. Take care and have a great whatever, and I'll talk to you next week,
Solstice.
Mark.
Okay.
Wait, great solstice. Yep. Yeah, I was like, I blanked right then. I'm like, what? What did we say? All right, so bye, folks. Have a good week.
Bye now.
Bye.